And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's going on, everybody? Pete and Nick back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered, of course, by our good friends over at Skip. Nick, it's Thursday in the midst of the fantasy playoffs. We got a great guest today. We're going to help you navigate those difficult waters, right?
No doubt about that, Pete. Of course, as we get closer and closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and don't forget, Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. As we welcome in from the FTN Network, it's Chris Meaney. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. Always a pleasure to join you too. And yeah, it is the stretch run, I suppose, for people to bring a championship home. Hopefully everybody listening does get that chip, and just a, you know, handful of days away before the Stanley Cup playoffs. Should be exciting.
So Chris, of course, a do-it-all type guy for FTN, FTN Bets, FTN Fantasy, DFS, props market. He's as good as anybody in the industry. So we're going to be, you know, juggling everything today. We can talk some keeper leagues for anybody who's been eliminated. We can talk some Stanley Cup futures. And let's start there, Chris. I wanted to just, you know, get your pulse. I know that Carolina had the big injury blow to Andrei Svechnikov. There have been some wheeling and dealing, of course, involving the New York Rangers. The East seems like it's going to be a gauntlet. Where are you leaning in terms of your favorite pick to win the Stanley Cup at this stage of the game?
Yeah, I hate to say the Bruins, but I still feel like they obviously, I mean, as the heavy favorites here, I still feel like they're the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. I mean, the East is going to really be a bloodbath. There's so many just good teams. I think if you're looking for value in the future market, I would head over into the Western Conference. Personally, I really like the way that the LA Kings are playing. This is a team that I had a future on at the start of the season at 45-1. And really the Pacific, it's been crazy. Vegas has won 8 of 10. LA is 8-0-2 in their last 10. Edmonton has won 8 of 10. It looks like potentially you could get a Kings and Oilers first round matchup again. That one went the distance. I think LA probably learned a thing or two from that matchup. As long as Kevin Fiala is healthy heading in, a little bit more firepower offensively. So I really like where LA is at. And since February 1st, you know, they have allowed the fewest shots at 5-5 per 60. They've allowed the third fewest shot attempts, the third lowest goals against at 5-5 per 60. You know, they're tight. They play really good defense. They don't allow a whole lot. They're strong up the middle with Anze Kopitar and Philip Deneau. We know how much success Deneau has had in the playoffs as well, shutting down really big players a couple of years ago with the Canadiens. So I like them. They're still 38-1 in some spots. And I really like the Dallas Stars. I didn't feel like I'd like the Stars before the deadline, and it doesn't feel like much when you bring in Evgeny Dadonov and Max Domi, but it really does give them some stability up and down their lineup. It doesn't feel like a one-line team anymore. Wyatt Johnson is one of the most underrated young players, I think, in the league. Jamie Benn's having a really good season. They're strong in goal. Jake Ottinger's been up and down, but we know he is strong in goal. Almost single-handedly beat the Flames last year in the first round. So those are two teams that I have my eye on in terms of value. And the Stars are hanging around at 18-1, but you guys tell me who's going to win in the East. I feel like it's the Rangers, but yeah. I don't love the 5-5 play from them of late.
Yeah, you're right. You know, at the very least, it's going to be a bloodbath in the Eastern Conference. But that's the tough part for me, is if it's not Boston, who is it? Like, you can make a case for Tampa or Toronto, whoever gets past that first round and ultimately potentially beats the Boston Bruins, the New York Rangers, the New Jersey Devils. Like, even sneakily, and I said this a couple weeks back, I know we just talked about the Canes, but I could never sleep on a team like that. Means I know losing Svechnikov, losing Pacioretty, albeit like he really wasn't on that team, I think they're actually going to be a sneaky team come playoff time. Would you agree with that?
I've been down this road before. I've kind of fell for them over the past couple of years. Yeah. I don't think so. I'm not really feeling their vibe. Fair. 5-5, good team. You're right. I mean, they check a lot of boxes. They're strong in goal when, you know, Anderson is healthy. He's been, you know, one of the better goalies in the league over the past couple of years. He's had, of course, a ton of playoff experience. Love their blue line. Like, they get more goals from their defensemen than anybody in the NHL. I think like 6% of their goals from their blue line. Like, Brady Shea is scoring goals. Gostisbehere is a nice pickup. Brent Burns has been great. I really do worry about their offense. When it comes to getting a goal in the playoffs where everything is just so tight check-in, there's, you know, not a lot of power plays and things like that, I really do wonder where they're going to get their offense from. Of course, Max Pacioretty, we all liked that addition on the show and looked like he was going to be great, you know, very small sample size, and he has the setback. And now, as you mentioned, Nick, you know, Svechnikov out of that lineup. So where is their offense going to come from outside of Marty Natchez and Sebastian Aho? So I think if they get up against a Rangers team, although they had a good game against them the other day and they're playing them again tonight, they get up against a Rangers team or a Devils team or the Bruins, the Lightning, the Leafs, like you mentioned, those teams that can score at will. I don't really feel their vibe right now. I think they needed to be a little bit more aggressive, Pete, at the deadline.
The only way that I could see the Hurricanes making a deep run is if they get an easy matchup in the first round. Like, let's say if they play the Islanders, I think they would have a real upper hand and maybe could get through that series quickly. And then secondly, if Freddie Anderson is healthy, you mentioned it, since he came back from injury, 14-4-0, 909 save percentage, one shutout. He hasn't even been at the top of his game, and he's winning almost every single game he plays, including that game against the Rangers the other night, when I think they reminded everybody, like, hey, you know, we lost to you guys last year, but we didn't even have a couple of our key players for game seven and that whole deal. So yeah, I still think they're going to be sneaky. They are still probably a top five cup contender. I would just say maybe more like four or five. I don't think they're leading the pack anymore, which I had them leading earlier in the season. But Freddie's the X factor, right, Nick?
Oh, definitely. I think goaltending is going to be so vital for most teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm very curious to see if he can stay healthy. I think that's been the major takeaway with Anderson come the Stanley Cup playoffs and the regular season in general. He's just really, really unreliable. But if they got him, they also got Kochetkov behind him, maybe Antti Raanta as well. And I think from a defensive standpoint, maybe that's where I believe in a team like the Carolina Hurricanes. Now, Pete brought up the New York Islanders. I love the way they scrapped and clawed the other night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Granted, you know, very, very desperate team right now. And we'll see what happens here with Brock Nelson. You lose Barzal, but could they also be a sneaky team, maybe even in the first round, Chris, when you look at who they have in goal, what they have on the back end, and sort of the scrapsters up front too?
Absolutely. But a month ago, I was like, yeah, this team's probably not going to make it. When Barzal went down, I didn't think that they were going to make it. A lot of teams had a lot of games in hand on them, and now everybody's caught up to them. Like, they played 72 games. The Capitals have played 72. The Pens have played 71. Panthers, Sens and Sabres seem to be out of it for sure. They can't get the goaltending. But this is a team that's coming in pretty hot, 7-2-1 in their last 10. And you mentioned it, Sorokin. This is a team that I think would beat the Carolina Hurricanes in the first round. I think that they could.
Wow.
If Carolina played Pittsburgh, I would give the edge to Carolina. I think that they can get that done. But I would say that it would be, when you go up against a goalie like Sorokin, who we can all argue that maybe he's the best in the game at this point. You're talking dynasty, fantasy. I would have him one or two right there with Shesterkin, in my opinion. He's a guy that can overtake a game, can overtake a series. I think about strong goaltending. I go back to J.S. Chiguer with the Ducks and the run there, the Halak with the Canadians and the run there. Like, Montreal had no business beating the Capitals in that first round, but Halak stood on his head. And that's how it would feel if these two teams were a Carolina team that does generate a lot of offense, struggles sometimes to score some goals, maybe not as deep down the middle as they'd like to be, if there is a healthy Barzal or a Nelson and a Bo Horvat, and then you got Sorokin between the pipes, I would not be shocked if the Islanders upset a team like, you know, Carolina. I think that'd be a bad matchup for them, actually.
Yeah, Sorokin's stolen playoff games before. I think a team like Florida could put a team on upset alert, whether they're the first wild card or the second wild card. I would not want to play the Florida Panthers. They are inconsistent. That was a maddening loss the other day to the Flyers. But overall, since the All-Star break, this has been one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference for sure. So I would lean more towards Florida, Nick, compared to the Islanders. But when you look back, like, those 2 years under Trotz, I know Trotz isn't there anymore, but one of them, they really limped into the playoffs and then they like flipped the switch and no one really saw it coming for them to be able to replicate the previous year. So they've done it before and they're kind of like a grizzled team that, if those guys are healthy, Barzal and Nelson, they would need both of those guys, I think, to be able to pull off an upset along the lines of what Chris was saying.
Look, never say never, but the one thing that worries me from the Florida perspective, because obviously they're gaining steam, Matthew Tkachuk has been incredible, but it's Sergei Bobrovsky, right? And the fact they don't have Spencer Knight behind him, it's Alex Lyon, who's a glorified third or fourth string goaltender in this league. That's a lot of faith to put in a guy who, I know he's won two Vezina trophies, but hasn't been the same goalie for X amount of years now. And I just have more faith in a guy like Ilya Sorokin in that system than I do the Florida Panthers system. But since, you know, since we're on that topic, Chris, the Panthers 6-1-1 in the last eight. Do they get in, and can they make some noise if they do get into the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I think that they, oh man, it's so tough. I think that they get in. Yeah. It is tough. It just seems like a three-team race now for those two spots, as I mentioned, like Washington and Ottawa and Buffalo not there. Detroit, nice step forwards for the Sens and the Sabres and the Red Wings. Like, they made a lot of noise in the offseason. I know they were trendy picks for a lot of people to make the playoffs. It was close for them, but they really did struggle.
Participation medals, those are great, right?
Those are great. Yeah, hand them out. You know, I really like the direction that the Sens are going. You know, try to get a goaltender, you know, continue to add defensemen. But yeah, I think it's my issue with the Florida Panthers, Nick, is what you said with Bobrovsky. Or you can go back to some days with the Blue Jackets. You know, had the upset against the Lightning that year that they rattled off like 62 wins. But this is a guy that has struggled in the postseason before. But they are playing really good hockey. You know, they're kind of, they have to. I couldn't believe that they lost to the Flyers. And that's your point, Pete. Like, this is just an inconsistent squad. I know that was the second half of a back-to-back, but come on. There's no excuse to be losing to a Flyers team like that when you have that type of offensive firepower. I would say that I haven't looked too much at their schedule down the stretch, but I could see them getting in over a team like Pittsburgh. I know they had a big win last night against Colorado. They play Dallas here tonight. Tristan Jarry is another guy. We can say it, put him in the same conversation as Bobrovsky right now, is a guy that's just really not playing consistent hockey. I could see the Florida Panthers getting in, making some noise because of the offense that they play, but they're kind of too loose. Like, Pete, if they played Carolina's so structured, I think that they could find a way to get through that series. But I think the team that out of the three, maybe the Pens, though, even though we're talking about Jarry, like, they have so much pedigree on that squad. Mm-hmm. And so much Stanley Cup experience, I could see them winning a round or two, but I don't know if they'd be any of these teams would beat Boston.
I would say the team with the best chance to beat Boston, just because it would be such a wild offensive series, would be Florida. But I feel like Boston would probably sweep the Islanders or beat them in five. That's just, my God, I know the Islanders beat them in the playoffs a couple of years ago, but a lot has changed. This is a better step forward for the Bruins. What they've gotten with three strong lines and everything that they've showcased all season with the two strong goalie options. And yeah, just to echo what you're talking about with Sergei Bobrovsky, I was looking 51 career playoff games, 901 save percentage. I feel like he had that one good round where they upset the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah. And other than that, has been some pretty poor performances from him. So hopefully he turns it around, because it's Bobrovsky or bust if they make the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. Chris, so in the props market and some of the shot props that you've been noticing lately, who are you going to down the stretch of the season? Which guys have impressed you here in the final quarter of the campaign?
I'm sure Nick has noticed this too. The shot prop market has really changed. There's a lot of players that are absolutely juiced these days, so it's tough to kind of get behind single plays. I've been looking at point props lately, like Jacob Brana. I was at the game on Friday, St. Patrick's Day at Capital One Arena. Washington really just did not look good. But, you know, the best player on the ice was Jordan Kyrou, and the second best player on the ice was Jacob Brana. Like, he stood out. He had a phenomenal primary assist where he set up Kyrou on a breakaway goal. He had a breakaway himself where he just missed. He had five shots in that game. He just played his former team the other night in the Red Wings. He had five shots. He's kind of moved up and down the lineup. He was playing with Kyrou the other night. I noticed he's on the third line here tonight with Braden Shen and Brandon Saad, but he's up against his former team again in Detroit. They're giving him an opportunity to play. I know it was a very small sample size earlier the year with Detroit, but averaging almost three more minutes per game here with the Blues. He's minus 105 for a point. You know, he's near plus money for three shots here tonight. And, you know, in the eight games he's played, he's got five goals, 6 points. And he's had at least three shots in five of those games. So that's a guy I'm looking at in the shot prop market. Kuzmenko for a point, Hagel for a point, Danana for a point, Nino Niederreiter for a point. Like, these are guys, two of them on new teams. And Nino Niederreiter, it's almost like he's priced as a Nashville Predator. He's a Jet playing in the top six with two good players. And Danana, the same thing. You know, he's been plus money for a point. I've noticed, you know, a boost in ice time. Like the way Jamie Benn is playing, and Wyatt Johnson. He's a good little hockey player I think we'll be talking about a lot in the future. So those are guys that I've been looking at in the prop market, kind of shying away from some of the shot props these days.
Man, you can make a bucket of orange juice with those juice prices these days. I am staying completely away. I'm chilling out. I'm waiting for the Stanley Cup playoffs because I don't know what's going on right now. But anyways, I wanted to ask you about Connor Bedard. You know, Victor Wembanyama gets all this love in the States, and I feel like it's really, really quiet on Connor Bedard, man. This guy is legit. 55 games, 70 goals, 142 points right now with Regina. He's remarkable. So I ask you this question. Where's the best fit for his fantasy value, and where would you rank Connor Bedard going into next season?
Oh, yeah, such a good question. I haven't given a lot of thought on where I would rank him. I probably wouldn't rank him that high. Like, I don't know if he'll be a point per game player in his first season. Of course, it is going to be about the setup. I think if he went to Columbus, there's some good players there. You know, yeah. Johnny Hockey is had a nice run here over the last month. Boone Jenner's a nice player. Patrick Laine. So they have some offensive players there. You know, the Ducks with Zegras and potentially Troy Terry, that'd be a good landing spot. Arizona, I think, would be the worst. But, you know, I just looked today, since the last 2 months, you know who leads the NHL in 5-on-5 points?
Who?
Clayton Keller.
Yeah.
Clayton Keller. Yeah. It's like, wait, what? Seriously? A point per game guy. He's been great. Barrett Hayton's on a 9-game point streak. There's some, yeah, you know, some offensive firepower there. I'd probably have Connor Bedard as like a top 30 player. I probably won't have him aggressively ranked in a redraft format. Of course, if we're talking keeper and dynasty, this guy's going to go really, really early.
Sure.
But I'd be thinking about him maybe in the second round. It's all these rookies get a lot of buzz. I know we haven't seen a player like this since McDavid, and I don't want to compare the two, but even Lafreniere went way too early in the first year of his NHL season, and he did not, you know, impress. And I don't want to compare those two either. I'd say a top 30 guy.
Well, Chris, that one league where I've tanked a little bit, I know we don't encourage NHL teams to tank, but I got off to a slow start. So we're in this keeper dynasty league. It was kind of like a first season where we're just kind of playing around with it. And then I guess next year's for real. So I just picked up Devin Levi, and I'm planning to draft Connor Bedard if I get the first pick in that league. So
nice.
I am very excited about that for long-term purposes. And you mentioned Columbus. Yeah, the big win against the Capitals the other day where they scored 7 goals. I mean, look at some of these guys over the past month. Laine, 13-9 games. Gaudreau, 11-9. Kent Johnson, 7-9. Boone Jenner, 5 goals in 9 games. Adam Boqvist is back. Had a multi-point game. Jack Roslovic, big performance the other day. Marchenko still hitting in different spots. So in terms of sneaky teams out there, we were talking a lot about the Coyotes the other day on the show, and that Hayton line centering Schmaltz and Keller, like we said, has been money, and Valimaki and the whole thing. But Columbus is another one of those teams that I think can help you get over the top in your fantasy playoff matchups. Right, guys?
Yeah, Nick, it feels like the Blue Jackets can actually turn this thing around pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Werenski's a really good defenseman. And you just mentioned all those young players mixed in with, you know, Johnny Hockey and Laine. They want to be aggressive. They want to spend some money. You know, they're linked to Jacob Chychrun and a couple other players that they were actually in on, right? They're looking to buy at the deadline, a couple players here and there. Yeah, those guys can help you out. You know, at this point of the season, one piece of advice I will give for, you know, if you have quarterfinal matchups next week or final matchups next week, I think there's 16 teams playing 4 games. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays are just extremely busy. You know, Sunday night, if it looks like you're going to advance, you're in a rotisserie league, look at your lineup. Take a look at players that are not going to play for you. Get in your starting lineup on a Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday and swap them out for teams that are going to play on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Like, those are the light games. 6 games on Monday, 4 on Wednesday, 4 on Friday. Arizona has a game on Monday and a game on Friday. Like, those, getting a Barrett Hayton, I'm sure Keller is owned anywhere, but Nick Schmaltz, getting guys that are going to be able to play on those lighter nights, it's like adding 4 to 8 more games against your opponent really could be the difference. So yeah, those sneaky players there on those bad hockey teams. Habs are a bad one too. Michael Matheson's been great. Like, that's a guy that's been a top 15 defenseman over the last month. Like, don't shy away from those players on bad teams. The reason I like them is, Nick, they're getting a lot of opportunity because there's not a lot of skill on those squads.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can you just explain the betting landscape right now post-deadline, we'll say, because I can't put my finger on how teams like Montreal are beating Tampa when you have a guy like Connor Bedard in the periphery. I just think it's such a tough league to handicap and bet on. I don't care what the time of year is, but especially right now, all the upsets we're seeing.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot. I mentioned Arizona is a top 10 team in the NHL over the past 2 months. It's It's strange. I know with the Canadians, they brought back Kirby Doc and, you know, Brendan Gallagher the other day, and I kind of rolled my eyes. It's like, why? Come on, guys. Like, they've been losing. The schedule the rest of the way is tough. You got to figure that the organization wants to, you know, have a bottom five, you know, pick here, which it looks like they potentially could. I think you got to be careful with some of these teams, like Tampa playing Montreal, you mentioned, like even Colorado playing Arizona. I think, you know, here
do you just stay away though completely?
I think you do. I think you got to stay away, because I've noticed that teams like Carolina came into Montreal a couple weeks ago and I thought that they were just going to wax them, and it seemed like they just took it easy. Oh, they got the Habs. Let's just go through the motions here. Take it easy. When the game was tight in the third, they found a way to win the game, but there's a flip side to both of it. The teams that are, they don't want to get hurt. They kind of feel like they're in a playoff spot. They're comfortably in a playoff spot. And then on the other side, you have a bunch of kids fighting for jobs, players fighting for jobs as well, looking for a new contract. So the energy is there, you know, nonstop with these other teams like Columbus and Montreal and Arizona, just younger players. So yeah, maybe take some upsets, but don't be, the one piece of advice I'd give betting, don't be taking any teams minus 300, 330. Bruins are like minus 500 tonight against the Habs. Like, yeah, they'll probably beat them, but I wouldn't suggest laying any bucks on that.
And Chris, when we take a page out of Nick Alberga's schedule manipulation book, I always like to look, when I'm in a fantasy playoff matchup, I look at the Saturday, Sunday guys, the guys that play two games. This week, it's teams like Boston, Carolina, LA, Nashville, St. Louis, Vancouver, and Toronto. Toronto has Cali Yarncroak. Vancouver, Thatcher Demko, I think has been a stud, kind of like what we expected in the preseason from him to carry the load. He's been really good for the most part since coming back from injury. You mentioned Vrana with St. Louis, Torrey Krug, if he's playing, the LA Kings, any of their middle six forwards, Nashville, Tyson Barrie, Tommy Novak, Carolina, whether it's Kokaniemi, guys like that, and then Boston, any of those guys, right, that you could tap into, you know, a Zaka or a Tyler Bertuzzi, like, who are you looking at for those guys that are double dipping over the weekend? Anybody stand out?
Yeah, I think you nailed a few of them. I have this in the article as well. It's free over at FTM Fantasy, just the Saturday, Sunday streams. You know, I can't imagine anybody in Boston, you know, maybe a Zaka. You know, Krejci's ownership has actually been pretty low all year. For a guy who doesn't shoot the puck, I mean, link to Pastrnak is pretty intriguing to me. You mentioned all the, what about the Blue Jackets, right? You mentioned a lot of those Columbus Blue Jacket players. Their team, LA, Saturday, Sunday, Victor Arvidsson's a shooting machine. That's actually one guy that I can get behind in the shot prop land. He's at 3.5 most times. It's not really juice. He's been shooting quite a bit, so he does stand out to me. The Devils, you know, Thomas Tatar, maybe, you know, he's kind of, you know, in a deeper format, I'd say. The Ottawa Senators, really not a whole lot. The Stars, you know, are owned most likely. Owen Tippett for the Flyers. The Penguins, Zucker's been interesting to me, especially in a bangers league. Had him over 2.5 hits last night. Small slate, guys. We were, you know, talking hit props, which is very interesting. Wow. Jason Zucker had over 2.5 hits. He's been throwing his body around. I think he's got 8 hits in his last couple of games. He's been plus money. He's been playing pretty good, actually, over the past month. You know, a lot of love to Sid, Gensel, and Raquel, but he's actually been good on that second line. Russ has been disappointing, but he's probably available for you. And then I would look to the Blues, right? Like, not just Vrana, but Braden Schenn is a guy that can help you in face-off leagues and maybe, you know, drop the gloves and get you some points there. And I love the Cali Yarncroak call, right? The Leafs bottom six has been not too great at the moment. I know they're missing some guys, but I would definitely, you know, link to Matthews and link to Marner. Marner's the guy that serves in Drake, right, Nick? Matthews been quiet. They put Marner with Matthews and now he's, you know, going off again.
Yeah, we'll see what he stirs in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's a different drink come the postseason. Means you're the best. Thanks so much for this, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
There you have it, the one and only Chris Meany. And obviously, it's a big time of year for a couple teams, namely in the Eastern Conference, Pete, but the New York Islanders, who we referenced in our interview, fighting for their playoff lives. Brock Nelson, the latest to go down. You lose Barzal, potentially Nelson. JG Pageot, would he be a person of interest for you right now in fantasy hockey?
Absolutely. He's always buried on that third line. He's always covering hits, block shots, face-off wins, the like. He always draws those tough matchups, regular season or playoffs, against the opponent's tough players. So I would expect him to take on an even bigger role, even more offensive productivity. I know he had a big game the other day, and I think that Pageau is a must-stream player.
Yep.
If Barzal remains out, like it sounds like he will at least for the rest of this week, and if Nelson misses any time, that's a really sneaky pickup without question. And then, Nick, we got a couple of variations of this fan question involving the Vegas Golden Knights. Obviously, Logan Thompson has come back from injury. He was backing up the other day. You would expect them to implement him over the stretch run, even though they do have a nice surprise in the veteran Jonathan Quick. Which guy would you rank higher? We have Quick a tad higher in our rankings this week compared to Logan Thompson, but it's very close. They're both in the top 120 overall.
Yeah, I think I'm going with Quick, but man, oh man, is this throw sort of a wrench, if you want to call it that, or a conundrum Vegas's way just in time for the Stanley Cup playoffs. You have Jonathan Quick. He's got the pedigree. He's got the resume. He's been really good since picking him up from Columbus. And then you have Logan Thompson, who's been your main man for the majority of the season, who's guided you to this territory where you're about to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. By the way, it looks like we're going to see Jack Eichel in a playoff game, knock on wood, for the first time ever, which is phenomenal. But yeah, I would probably lean more in the favor of Jonathan Quick. I think they're going to be very careful and ease Logan Thompson back. And I don't know about you, I think Quick's going to start game one. Do you feel the same way?
I would think so. And I think that's a nice fallback option for Vegas. Obviously, they missed the playoffs last year. They have been without Robin Lehner for the entire season, and he's not coming back, unfortunately. So I think they have some nice options. Feels like Vegas has played like five or six different goalies this year, but now it's starting to solidify itself. And I would be excited for them to go into the playoffs with, remember, Logan Thompson prior to his injury was probably the second Calder Trophy candidate behind Matty Beniers. And at different points, he looked like he could win the award. So they have two great options heading into the postseason. And Vegas, definitely one of those teams that is trending up at the right time of year.
I love how Laurent Boissois even made an appearance for a couple games and now he's banged up, but you're so right. Just to dovetail and tie a bow on the Brock Nelson conversation, externally, I would look at Barrett Hayton, 9-game point streak, as you mentioned, 5 goals, 14 points. Thomas Novak, 10 points in the last 10, and Michael Backlund, 8 points in the last 7. And speaking of Calgary, got a question via Instagram as well. Kadri Bertuzzi, is it time to drop? I would say profoundly and unequivocally, yes, Pete Jensen.
I'm a little I'm a little reluctant to drop Bertuzzi because it's still pretty early in his tenure. I think he is going to get some top six usage at different points, and he'll cover some categories for you. And Boston does have that double dip over the weekend this year, so I would be a little bit more patient with Bertuzzi as he's adjusting. But yeah, Kadri, I know Lindholm has gotten going a little bit lately, but Kadri and Lindholm have each been underwhelming this season. They still hang around the top 100, 150 range among overall players based on performance because they both have good category coverage. But with those two guys, Jonathan Huberdeau, man, we just expected so much more from those guys. And when you look at their leaders this year, Toffoli has had an outstanding season, as we predicted. Michael Backlund leads that team in shots on goal with like 230 this season, and he's closing in on a 50-point season. So Backlund is a must-roster player in all formats. That's a guy that always gets underappreciated when he's a second or third line. But like, I feel like that guy, Backlund, has been outperforming some of these guys that are being paid big money and were drafted high in fantasy coming into this season, right?
Yeah, and of course, if you own Backlund, you can have the fantasy name Baby Got Backlund, right? Which is tremendous.
It's a great
but
one.
Yeah, he's been my like streamer well guy. Like every couple of weeks, I go to Backlund in a busy week for the Calgary Flames, and I think you're so right. He's provided owners so much value. I'll take partial blame as well for Nazem Kadri. I know in our YouTube special, I was profound in saying regression candidate. I'm staying away from Nazem Kadri in drafts. I have him in a keeper league, and man, oh man, he's been a massive disappointment, but certainly a guy I'll jump on next season. Ditto for Jonathan Huberdeau. But Pete, I ask you this question. Who delivered the most in fantasy hockey this week? It's time for the Deliver of the Week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have?
I'm going with Riley Smith. I mean, this Vegas offense is coming at you in so many different ways, but when you just look at how he has stepped up at the wing position in the absence of Mark Stone over the past couple of weeks, really the past month, since the start of March, 12 points, in his past 11 games. That leads the Golden Knights. And there are a couple other point per game players in that stretch for Vegas. Jack Eichel, Jonathan Marchessault, Alex Petrangelo, all point per game or better since the beginning of March. There are great pickups on Vegas. Ivan Barbashev, Pavel Dorofiev. Get to know those names. But first and foremost, Riley Smith, channeling the Riley Smith from 3 or 4 years ago and looking like one of the best scorers down the stretch of the season.
I love those unheralded stories, and I love the Riley Smith story because I really questioned Vegas for re-signing him, but he's been outstanding this season, especially missing Mark Stone for that long period of time. But I'm going with Matt Boldy of the Minnesota Wild. You talk about guys taking their team on their shoulders and their back. Kirill Kaprizov goes down, and Boldy's been a beast since that's happened. A six-game point streak, 6 goals, 4 assists, 10 points, plus 6, one game-winning goal. And he's a young player in this league. To step up the way he has really, really impressed me and drawn the interest of me in fantasy hockey. Remember, for all your food delivery needs, use Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHLP.
Good stuff, Nick. And I know they got a NHL Puck Line show dropping today as well. Tell us about it.
Yeah, NHL Puck Line, a new show with our friends Lauren Jabara and Todd Furman every Tuesday and Thursday on the NHL YouTube channel. Make sure to go check it out. Again, it's a very, very difficult time of year, Pete, to navigate from an NHL betting point of view. So those two have you covered on the show.
Yes, and I'm excited that we're going to be covering a lot more than any previous year betting this upcoming postseason. It's only a couple of weeks away, so it's going to keep us even more involved than we've been in the past. We'll get your fantasy pool previews, as always, and our series picks. We always do pretty well on those, but I know we're going to be dabbling a lot in the shots prop market and point props and all the great storylines, so definitely check out NHL Puck Line. And follow along like you have all year long with this show.
Looking forward to Monday. I was just going to add week 24 waiver wire edition, man. I don't know where the time has gone. I can't believe we're less than a month away from the Stanley Cup playoffs here.
Yes, and we'll catch up, I believe, with Anna on Monday. So looking forward to that. Thanks again to Chris Meany. Follow him at FTN Bets, FTN Fantasy, the whole deal. I look out for his, it's like play of the day. They post it on FTN Bets. They post a graphic with the line and stuff like that. It's good stuff. So thanks to Chris, for Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen. Thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And we'll talk to you next week.